Hello again, everybody. Taylor Brown here from the Northern Ag Network. In early December, the state's cattle industry gathered in Billings, Montana. It was the 139th annual convention of the Montana Stock Growers Association, and it brought a lot of focus on good cattle and good beef, with leaders from across the country participating. Part of the discussion was, of course, on the recent growth in Montana's meat processing industry. At the Stock Growers Convention, a lot of ranchers discussed the increase in that growth and how we can provide more local beef to folks here in our listening area. But one of the most interesting discussions that I had was with a couple of individuals who are considering building a meat processing facility that is certainly one of the largest that we've heard about. In a moment, I want you to meet Gary Gessman and Paul Nugens of Controlled Environments Construction. My guests after this. There are a great many individuals that would like to see the beef processing industry expanded in Montana. And we've seen some pretty good expansion in some of the smaller packing facilities here in our area over the last couple of years. But one of the biggest dreams that I've heard about comes from Controlled Environments Construction, a company owned by Gary Gessman. And I had a chance to visit with Gary just at the Montana Stock Growers Convention this last week in Billings. Gary and his partner in that business, Paul Nugens, have a dream to construct a plant that would be perhaps as big as 200,000 square feet, a new beef processing facility that might be constructed in south central Montana near Laurel. They've been working on this plant since March of 2021, and I thought you'd like to hear about the dream they've got in mind, a $350 million project if it all comes about the way that they're expecting. Joining me on today's program are Gary Gessman and Paul Nugens of Controlled Environments Construction. And Gary, let's start with you. Your company's based in California, but you built a facility here in Billings, Montana over three decades ago that got you to thinking about the processing industry and what could happen in a state like Montana.
Well, thank you very much, Taylor. Our experience in this area started well over 30 years ago when I was a much younger project manager, and we constructed a facility for Food Service America, and it was a freezer distribution center. We, at that time, were the major contractor for Food Service America. We built facilities for them all around the country, and coming to Montana, that was actually my first experience. I'd never been here before, and what a wonderful place to build, and I tell everybody that it was one of the places I made the most money ever, is building a building in Billings, Montana, on a proportional basis. And I think it was because of the people here, their work ethic. And I just sort of fell in love with Montana. And I was also fortunate enough to meet my good friend and partner, Paul Nugens, who was at that time running a company called American Steel. And American Steel provided all the structural steel and the miscellaneous steel for many facilities that we've built over the years.
I'm going to bring Paul on with us in just a minute and kind of get him to talk about that. But before I go further with that, let me get a little bit more on your company, on Controlled Environments Construction, because the reason you're not concerned about the concept of building a major packing facility is you have done this kind of thing. You've done a lot of rebuilds and reconstruction and on this kind of facility across the nation.
That's true, Taylor. It's an interesting segment of our business. We build freezers, coolers, and food processing facilities, and we build them all around the country. We built several outside the country, and we enjoy this type of construction because it's organic. You're working with people who work with the food industry and how we feed our country, and it's always been an interest to me since I got involved almost 42 years ago.
Well, let me talk about the vision next. And, Paul, maybe you'd be the one to get involved here because you were raised up in the Wolf Point country and your family was involved in livestock agriculture, left the state as an engineer. But several years ago now, after listening to some of the cattle producers in this region, the light bulb came on for you that there's a vision here that its time may have come.
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. After hearing a few people speak at some seminars, namely Ty Thompson, and talking about the processing plants that weren't adequate and could not take the cattle. I contacted Gary Gessman, and we were doing a lot of projects together, and I said, Gary, we may have an idea up here to help the ranchers so they're not pushing all the cattle out of the state of Montana. And Gary said, sure, let's take a look. So we start searching around, doing our due diligence, talking to the ranchers, farmers, and mainly, is there enough cattle in Montana to supply this processing facility? And we came up is that, yes, we can. And so our vision at that time is to help the ranchers with their cattle and processing the cattle.
Which of you wants to talk about the scope that you're contemplating? Because I think that's one of the most impressive things, is just the actual size.
When we first put this together, we didn't believe we could compete, nor we would try to compete with the JBSs and the Cargills of the world. It doesn't make a lot of sense from a volume size. Besides, those plants now are, you know, almost $1 billion to build a gigantic plant like that. And it just didn't seem to be the right fit for this, for Montana or the area. So we settled on between 1,000 and 1,200 head a day. And so we felt that there would be enough cattle in Montana, in Wyoming, in the Dakotas, and even we were told that, you know, when we would originally start with this facility, that we would probably be bringing some cattle in from Canada. So we had a lot of conversations with ranchers. We've had conversations with people who would operate the feedlots, and we also had conversation with some of the farmers. And because we were told that there were many obstacles,
No, really. I can hardly believe that.
Well, one of the ones we didn't expect was, but it became the obstacle originally, was where to place the facility. These types of facilities of this scale need lots of electricity. They need wastewater treatment. They need water. And they also need to be able to be placed where you have a population large enough to supply the employment sector. And so after we went round and round and looked at many areas and even had several in escrow, we came upon a facility just west of Billings near Laurel. It's in Yellowstone County. We now have 233 acres under contract, and we're working to get the entitlements, which will be the next big hurdle that we have to go through.
It's an exciting project. We're talking today with Gary Gessman and Paul Nugens, and their company is Controlled Environments Construction. They're contemplating the construction of a 200,000-square-foot, brand-new beef processing facility to be constructed near Laurel. We're going to continue our conversation with them and talk more about what this idea could mean to the cattle industry and maybe a little bit more about the challenges that exist to make it come together. I'm Taylor Brown. More after this. As we continue our conversation with Gary Gessman and Paul Nugens of Controlled Environments Construction, we're talking about their proposal to build a major packing facility in Montana in the Laurel area. And Gary, I guess, first of all, to think about this concept, you mentioned some of the challenges. Most of those challenges, because we've never seen a facility like this ever in Montana. We've had a couple in the neighborhood of 500 a day in the Billings area in the past when Midland Pack was going. Of course, Pierce Packing Company was a big facility. But today, we just don't have anything like this. And you talked about some of the challenges. And let's first of all start from your area of expertise, from the mechanical side. You said one of the biggest ones is, how do you handle the wastewater treatment? What do you do for the byproducts and wastewater?
Well, this isn't one of your grandfather's facilities. You can't just take the wastewater and willy-nilly dump it into a stream or put it in ponds and hopefully in some instances reuse it. What you have to do is you have to clean it up even before it gets to a wastewater treatment facility. And we've spoken to several people, and we have some really good ideas as to how this is done. The new technology is just tremendous. It separates the grease. It separates the fat. It takes care of the hide remnants that come through the processing facility. We clean that all out. We put it in a big settling tank. It'll be over 1 million gallons. We run it through different components of the system. And when it comes out the other side, it's fairly clean compared to what you would see even 10 years ago coming out of a meatpacking facility.
The second huge stumbling block that I think you've identified already, and maybe I don't know if you or if Paul's the one to talk about this, is finding the supply, finding enough beef to process, and of course, getting finished beef. You have to get to the point where you've got cattle that are finished to process.
Well, we certainly, in our travels around the state, were tutored by many people in the industry who certainly know much more about that end than we do. But what it really came down to is something we've heard, at least most of our lifetime, is if you build it, they will come. And when we spoke to the farmers and said, well, you know, we thought we might have a hard time feeding these cows, they sort of looked at us like we were from Jupiter. And what they basically said, you build the facility, we'll feed those cows.
Well, and of course, you'll have to develop a feed base. You'll have to develop corn or barley or some other crops to feed those finished cattle.
That's correct. And let's speak a little bit about that. There's some history involved in this. The cattle industry in the United States, from my research and my reading, I'm a historian, by the way.
You're making a little history here if you pull this off.
Yeah, we agree with that, by the way. It's going to just take a lot of hard work. The reason that there hasn't been enough or a facility of any size here has a lot to do with how cattle's been basically handled here. You don't finish anything, don't finish much here in Montana. And because of that, there is no ag base to feed a lot of cattle. But what people don't understand is there's states now, Texas being an example, the largest producer of cattle in the country, that have real issues when it comes to water. There's an aquifer that stretches basically from the Dakotas the whole way into Texas. We never started to tap that aquifer hard until after World War II. There's a lot of people who suggest that that aquifer is going to diminish to a point where they're going to have to find another way to water their cattle and grow their feed in Texas and all along that aquifer range, which comes the whole way into the Dakotas. Montana doesn't have that. We're not looking at water from that aquifer. We're looking at water from the mountains and the streams, Yellowstone River Basin, to grow our crops and to be able to move forward. So from a historical standpoint, the future of cattle, I believe, is going to move. And I can't think of a better place for it to move than Montana.
Paul, one issue you did talk about with me at length, you talked about the issue of coming up with enough labor and enough staff to process, to run a plant like this. What's your thoughts on that? Realizing that's a ways away, but it's certainly got to be a piece of the puzzle.
Good question there, Taylor. We're the developers of the processing facility. There will be another entity that will be actually running that facility. A lot of that labor force will come from that entity. However, we are going to come into Montana and try to find appropriate labor, and plus that entity that's going to run the processing facility will bring some of their people with them.
Is it time then to maybe go take our discussion to how we actually get it accomplished? It sounds to me like the mechanical logistics to you guys are pretty straightforward. If you can find the land, you can find the water, you can find the steel, we can build the facility. So that seems pretty straightforward. But let's talk about what has to happen next, Gary, because you said that entity, does that industry bring the capital? Because certainly it's going to take a lot of capital to bring this together.
From the very beginning, we felt that this facility should be Montana-based and in many ways Montana-financed. We do have interest everywhere from Wall Street to people who would love to own this facility once it's constructed. But our goal is to make sure that this is a Montana facility simply because it's a food safety, food security issue. I'm someone who is adamantly opposed to foreign governments in particular coming into a state like Montana or any place in our country, buying up the land, and then trying to take our agriculture away from the people who've been the stewards of these facilities and their families for generations. So what we want to do is make sure that we have the people involved here. We want the people in-state involved. We want them having some of their skin in the game, as we like to say. But as far as the financing goes, it's going to be a little bit more difficult than it was a few years ago because of the interest rates. but it's just another stumbling block.
What kind of finance are you talking about? I mean, give me an idea what kind of dollars it takes.
I think that what we're going to look at to construct this entire facility, and you hit the nail on the head, between $350 and $400 million. That will come. A lot of that will come from private investors who specifically deal in the food industry. Surprisingly enough, there's quite a few of them around the country. From the standpoint of what we're going to look for here in Montana, we're going to look for the people who are in the cattle industry, who want to be part of this whole thing, and they'll be part of a team. We've been cautioned by pretty much every rancher, independent ranchers here in Montana. I don't know if you know that or not, Taylor.
I've heard that.
But the idea here is to put a group together of people who understand the industry enough, who can supply some of the cattle, but who also can bring the local touch to this to make sure we're doing this in the proper way. And that's what we're looking for. So the money we're going to look for here are from some of the big ranchers, some of the big industrialists here in Montana, to as the seed money, as we like to call it in my business, to get the long-term investors with the big cash to syndicate this and bring in the final numbers.
We're always concerned about, well, how do we keep the thing ongoing and keep it sustainable? You're really not thinking along that line yet. You're not thinking about, well, how do you handle money to buy cattle and grow feed and survive when times are leaner. You're more just going to get the facility built, and then a different party will be the ones who actually figure out how to cash flow it and compete really with the best in the world.
Yes, that's correct. And it's not that we haven't looked into it. I've built for the industry over the years, now over 40 years. And so I understand the rudimentary cash flow requirements, as I like to say. But we've talked to several people who are operators right now of regional facilities, and they've shown some interest in coming in, and that's going to be their bailiwick, is how they buy the cattle. And we also have some good friends around this area who are interested in putting some money in, not only that, but participating and helping make sure that we can get what we need to make this project really go.
Gary Gessman, who's with Controlled Environments Construction, and his company has built packing facilities. They built meat processing. They know how that works, and that's partly, Gary, I guess, what gives you the most confidence. But let me take you back to that food security thing, because when I listen to you speak, it seems like that is what you really feel is the ace in the hole here. It seems to me that food security looks a lot different than it did 3 years ago when you started talking about this project.
Well, the people in the industry, from my end of it in particular, where we build gigantic freezers for distribution facilities for all around the country, and I see them, and it's fragile. It's much more fragile than people think.
They hadn't seen empty shelves before.
Now they've seen these empty shelves, and they've seen these empty shelves because the logistics to bring things together, when you start hauling things across the country, and there are breakdowns as far as fuel goes, where fuel prices skyrocket and the prices go up, you start to look at a regional base for these types of facilities to move them around a little bit, and quite frankly, to get them away from the dominance of some of the people who've been driving this industry for the last 50 or 60 years. This has to be an all-out effort. Food security is not going to be done by just conglomerates. It's going to be done by smaller facilities, by regionally owned facilities. And that's what we have to concentrate on. If we miss this opportunity now, we'll regret it.
It's a very ambitious project, maybe 1,000 to 1,200 head of finished cattle slaughtered per day. That'd be 350,000 or so a year. A project that could take $350 million to build. What's the message you're bringing to livestock producers now? And maybe this is a better question for you, Paul. Paul Nugent, who lives here in Montana, was raised up in the Wolf Point country. And, Paul, maybe the question is, what is the message you're trying to get to the ranching and probably the investment industry, too, if somebody heard this and had money to invest, but to the industry in Montana and to the people in Montana? You're kind of the connection that's trying to bring that part to the fore here.
Yeah, Taylor. Up in Wolf Point, when we had our ranch, we'd always ship our cattle out of state to finish off. This way here, I believe that the rancher now can finish it off and bring their cattle to the processing facility and do somewhat of a turnkey operation. And the mileage or the distance they have to bring it is a lot less than shipping it out of state. I believe that the end goal for them will be more profit in their pocket at the end of the day. That's my hope. That's my a vision to see for the rancher, that we're really close to all the ranching facilities in Montana here. So the distance to get here is real short.
You've already gotten a lot of interest from people like our governor and others who are saying, what do we need to help you do this? And I guess that's my question to you. What do you need? What do people, I mean, if we're talking to our neighbors and our friends and our governor or our county commissioners, what do you need?
It's amazing how complicated it is to get a hamburger or a steak in the middle of your plate.
No kidding.
And I've learned that over the years, and especially in the last 3 years. Infrastructure is going to be a big part of it, but also acceptance of the community. The name of the company is Controlled Environments Construction. And I named it that 35 years ago because I have an affinity for the environment. But what we have to understand is we're part of that environment. And if we can't feed ourselves, okay, we're going to put ourselves in a terrible position. So we have to make sure that we can treat our natural environment with the respect it deserves, while at the same time not only coexisting but thriving within that environment. It's not as difficult as it used to be. We have technologies that are just amazing. Things that I've seen in my years in construction are just beyond anything I thought I would ever see. And what we can do with waste, what we can do, the actual use of the whole cow. I've built quite a few rendering facilities over the years and remodeled more than enough. And one of our consultants on this happens to be Baker Commodities, who was here in Billings for years and years and years, and left because there wasn't enough product. And so we've done extensive work with Baker, and they're going to help us. We've worked with Cargill, and we've got some people from Cargill who have also advised us to this point, and will probably continue to do that. So we're not coming at this without expertise. We know how to get it done. I think we can get it done, but the people of the communities, people of the state, are going to have to make sure that they're satisfied with what we're doing. And so we're willing to talk to anybody about it.
That's Gary Gessman. He's the owner of Controlled Environments Construction, and talking about their proposal to build a major beef processing facility right here in Montana.
And because we understand a little bit about the logistics, on this 233 acres is going to be a substantial freezer cooler operation for distribution. It's amazing when you get into this business that if you're buying meat on Tuesday, you may want to buy it Tuesday because on Thursday it might cost just a little bit more. So the ability to hold your product for a period of time right next to where it's produced is imperative to the success of a facility like this. So our first look at this will be a freezer approximately 100,000 square feet. We have people in that industry who we're talking to already, who I've built for over the years, who are interested in building a facility on our land. And I think that that'll be another component. You have to put all the components together. If you're missing a piece, you're going to be missing a profit center, and we don't want to miss any of it.
But I know this month you're attending the Montana Stock Growers Convention. You're talking to cattlemen and to business leaders in the livestock industry. It'll be very interesting to talk maybe in a few weeks. Maybe we should follow up and after you've had a chance to visit with some of them and hear some of those thoughts. This is an issue that it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to do this, and it's an issue that's not going to go away. We're not going to see food security solve itself. We're not going to see instantly a way for us to process all these cattle in Montana instead of somewhere else. But what it could do for the economy and what it could do for this area and for cattle producers.
Well, we want to thank you for the opportunity to join you here today. We're going to process a little over 350,000 head a year, working on a 6-day split shift. It's a very big project. We're looking at between $350 and $400 million. The building itself is going to be roughly 211,000 square feet, and we're on 233 acres. We expect that will expand that. There'll be ancillary businesses and an ancillary building where we can store the product and distribute it throughout the United States. We'll certainly check back in. We'll give you updates as we get them, and hopefully you'll keep the people in your network and in Montana informed.
Are you ready to hear from people? If somebody heard this today and said, well, I've always wanted to have a 100,000 head feedlot, and I've been thinking about putting in the Yellowstone Valley. And you know, are you ready to hear from people yet? And if so, would you rather them to email you or call you? What would you like?
Well, you know, obviously email is a good way to get in touch with us. Controlled Environments is the name of the company. You can reach me at GUESMAN at controlledenvironments.com.
Gary, thank you for being here today, and thank you for sharing these thoughts. Gary and Paul Nugent, we appreciate both of you being a part of this, and keep me posted. We're gonna need to hear more about this as we go forward, and what an amazingly large dream you have.
You know, these are the types of things that I live for.
That was Gary Gessman and Paul Nugent. They are with Controlled Environments Construction, Gary's company that's been in the business of building process facilities before, and he wants to do one right here in the Big Sky Country. I'm Taylor Brown with an update from the meat processing industry today. Thank you for joining us on the Northern Ag Network.